Teachings and Conduct with Non-Muslims. I will now present the second part of this subject, which relates to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's conduct with non-Muslims and his teachings regarding them.
First teaching. Providing clear teachings on acknowledging the good qualities of others, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught that every faith has some virtues, the denial of which could lead to intolerance. It is stated in the Holy Quran, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَى عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى لَيْسَتِ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Footnote. Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 114. And the Jews say, the Christians stand on nothing. And the Christians say, the Jews stand on nothing. While they both read the same book. End of footnote. Meaning that Jews think Christians are immoral and Christians think Jews lack virtues, even though both follow the same religious text. Are there no positive teachings in their scripture? Thus, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasized the importance of recognizing the positive aspects of others' religions. And it is wrong for one to assert that other faiths lack any virtue. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought a universal teaching that reassured and comforted all nations. It is disheartening to tell adherents that their religion is bereft of all good qualities. In this regard, the principle presented by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to acknowledge the merits of every faith. Thus, he has done a great favor to all people. Second teaching. Second, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade us from saying that the followers of other religions are unauthentic in their belief. Though all other religions have become distorted, most of their followers consider the faith authentic to this day. In the Holy Quran, Allah has praised some Jews and Christians. It describes that among the Jews, some are so honest that they would not betray you even if you entrusted them with a mountain of gold. This illustrates that some Jews genuinely believed in the truth of their religion. Nowadays, Muslims too have developed a false notion that the followers of other faiths, despite considering it false, refuse to abandon their religion. But in reality, 99% of Hindus, Christians, and Jews regard their religions as the absolute truth. Similarly, it says in the Holy Quran that among the Christians, some weep upon hearing the remembrance of Allah, and their hearts are filled with fear of Allah. Could such people be lying about their beliefs? By providing this teaching, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us to respect and regard the sentiments of non-Muslims. Third teaching. Third, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enjoined Muslims to acknowledge that divine messengers appeared among all people and to believe in principle that prophets were raised in all nations. Thus, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam introduced the notion of international law in the sphere of religion. During the last war, World War I, Russia's form of government changed. Unfortunately, other countries did not recognize the newly founded republic. Their pleas fell on deaf ears. One may wonder about the benefit of being acknowledged by other countries and why Russia is trying so hard to attain it. It has great advantages, because a government recognized by other nations starts receiving benefits accorded to states that fall under international law. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first person to acknowledge the rights of all faiths and declare that all religions were divinely instituted. Granted, he opposed the erroneous concepts that evolved with time, but he still respected the sentiments of others and established their rights. This was a significant right he established for all non-Muslims. Fourth teaching. Fourth, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught that one must never resort to abusive language in the heat of an argument. Allah says, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Footnote. Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 109, and revile not those whom they call upon besides Allah, lest they out of spite revile Allah in their ignorance. End of footnote. Meaning, when you argue with non-Muslims, do not revile their deities, even if they are presented as equals to God. Otherwise, they will abuse your God, too. In this way, the Holy Prophet ﷺ forbade the use of offensive language. Fifth teaching. Fifth, the Holy Prophet ﷺ taught not to fight against a people because of religious differences. Before the advent of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, it was considered rightful to destroy anyone that diverged from your faith. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ put an end to this barbaric custom. It was through the Holy Prophet ﷺ that God Almighty declared, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. Footnote, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 191, and fight in the cause of Allah against those who fight against you, but do not transgress. End of footnote. That is, you may fight, but only against those who fight against you. Never fight anyone because of religious differences. Thus, the Holy Prophet ﷺ granted freedom of conscience to non-Muslims. Regardless of a person's faith, no one has the right to kill or harm them in any manner. Sixth teaching. Sixth, the Holy Prophet ﷺ opened the door of guidance to the entire world. Before his advent, people considered religion to be their exclusive domain. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ made it inclusive without discriminating against anyone. Therefore, the Holy Quran states, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum jamia. Footnote, Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 159. Truly, I am a messenger to you all from Allah. End of footnote. Meaning, I am sent as a messenger for all the people of the world. I can show the path of guidance to all. Seventh teaching. The seventh right he established for non-Muslims was declaring that promises made with them, not just Muslims, must be honored. People, including Muslims, who do not ponder over the Holy Quran make an error in judgment. They consider it perfectly acceptable to breach contracts made with others. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ prohibited this practice. It is recorded in the Holy Quran, وَإِمَّا تَخَافَنَّ مِنْ قَوْمٍ خِيَانَةً فَمْبِذْ إِلَيْهِمْ عَلَىٰ سَوَاءٍ. Footnote, Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 59. And if thou fearest treachery from a people, throw back to them their covenant with equity. End of footnote. That is, if a people with whom Muslims have entered into an agreement dishonor it, they should be notified that the agreement has been annulled. Under no circumstances are Muslims permitted to make a surprise attack, but if attacked, Muslims are permitted to retaliate. When Abu Sufyan came from Mecca to renew the treaty, footnote, refers to the flagrant breach of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah by the Meccans who instigated the war. End of footnote. With Muslims, the Holy Prophet ﷺ could have chosen not to disclose his intention and launch a surprise attack against the enemy. But by replying, Abu Sufyan, you have agreed to renew this treaty, not I, the Holy Prophet ﷺ gave him prior notice of the measures to follow. Nowadays, if a country plans to attack another, it often announces that it has good relations with that country. This was the case with Italy when it announced that it was on good terms with Turkey just 3 days before attacking it. Conversely, when Abu Sufyan made his announcement, the Holy Prophet ﷺ could have remained silent and still been justified in his actions. However, he spoke up and informed them of his plans to retaliate. Eighth teaching. The eighth teaching of the Holy Prophet ﷺ is that Muslims and non-Muslims have equal civil rights, a virtue not found in earlier teachings. The Jews were forbidden from charging interest to fellow Jews, but permitted to take it from non-Jewish people. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ prohibited taking interest from Jews, Christians, Muslims, or anyone else. He instructed that everyone should be treated by the same standard. In this way, he affirmed that Muslims and non-Muslims have the same civil rights. Ninth teaching. The ninth teaching instructs about freeing slaves. The Holy Prophet ﷺ did not differentiate between Muslim and non-Muslim slaves when setting them free. While it is said that the Holy Quran mentions a command to free enslaved Muslims, this applies only in specific situations where Muslims have suffered greatly. But the general directive of the Holy Prophet ﷺ is to free all slaves. As an example of this principle, after the Battle of Hunain, the Holy Prophet ﷺ freed thousands of prisoners of war, even though they were adversaries. Tenth teaching. The tenth teaching emphasizes that in an Islamic country, Muslims should bear greater responsibility than non-Muslims. This responsibility includes, 1, participating in warfare when necessary, 2, donating 1/10 of their agricultural yield, 3, paying zakat, which is a portion of their accumulated wealth. While Muslims are obligated to perform the above duties, non-Muslims are only required to pay a tax of 2.5%, which is significantly less than what Muslims are required to pay. In return for this, non-Muslims receive protection and security from the Muslim community. Today, many European countries impose a tax of 10% or higher on their citizens. However, the Holy Prophet ﷺ imposed a higher tax rate and mandatory military service for Muslims, and a lower tax rate and no military obligation for non-Muslims. Conduct with non-Muslims. I shall now explain the Holy Prophet ﷺ's conduct with people of other faiths. As time is running out, I will only present a few examples. The first example is that through his actions, the Holy Prophet ﷺ honored non-Muslims who were virtuous. It is recorded that when some idolaters were taken as captives after the battle against a Tay tribe, the daughter of Hatim Tay was among them. She asked if the Holy Prophet ﷺ knew whose daughter she was. He replied, "No, whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of a man who assisted those in hardships, Hatim." Hatim was not a Muslim, but the Holy Prophet ﷺ freed her because of her father's compassion for others. Fearing captivity, her brother was on the run. The Holy Prophet ﷺ immediately supplied her with the means to travel and asked her to bring him back. When he returned with his sister, the brother was so touched by the kind treatment that he became a Muslim. It is evident that the Holy Prophet ﷺ recognized the excellent qualities of non-Muslims through his conduct and treated them with kindness because of their virtues. The second example is an incident about a Christian delegation from Najran who came to visit the Holy Prophet ﷺ. According to historical records, the group in question used disrespectful language during a discussion with the Holy Prophet ﷺ. When it was time for their prayer, some of them stood up to leave the mosque to offer their prayer service elsewhere. However, the Holy Prophet ﷺ encouraged them to remain in the mosque and offered them space to perform their prayer. As a result, the Christian delegation placed their crosses before them and conducted their worship inside the mosque. Footnote: Zurqani, Muhammad Abdul Baqi, Volume 4, page 41, Egypt, 1909. End of footnote. Today, mosques and temples are a source of strife, but the Holy Prophet ﷺ permitted the Christians to offer worship in the mosque as per their rituals. Given the Holy Prophet ﷺ's practical example, our community announced that non-Muslims are free to visit the London Mosque. Still, some Muslims objected to it, saying, "This is not a mosque, but rather a dharamshala." Footnote: a shelter for travelers or a hostel. End of footnote. This was the conduct of the Holy Prophet ﷺ towards non-Muslims. how can anyone allege that he took lives or inflicted cruelty? Would such a person allow people to worship the cross before his very eyes? In his own mosque that he called Akhirul Masajid?
Footnote, last of the mosques, meaning the best. End of footnote.
And in which praying has greater blessings than other mosques? But in the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the divine messenger sent by God to establish his tawheed, the Christians performed their prayer service with the cross before them. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no harm in it, and they may worship in the mosque. But today, even the most open-minded people lack the strength of faith to allow others to pray in their places of worship. The third example is that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always advised Muslims to show excellent conduct towards neighbors, regardless of their religion. He stressed this point so much that his companions always remember to follow it. It is recorded that once, Hazrat Ibn Abbas r.a. came home and noticed his family had received raw meat from somewhere. He asked if they had shared some of it with their Jewish neighbor. When he repeated this question a number of times, it prompted his family to inquire about the reason for his insistence. Hazrat Ibn Abbas r.a. replied that he heard the Holy Prophet ﷺ say, Angel Gabriel emphasized the rights of neighbors so many times that I began to think they might be allocated a share in inheritance. This was the Holy Prophet's conduct with non-Muslims. He also showed utmost regard for the sentiments of others. In the presence of Hazrat Abu Bakr, a Jew once said, I swear to Moses, who was given superiority over all other prophets. Hearing these words, Hazrat Abu Bakr slapped him. When the matter reached the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even a person like Hazrat Abu Bakr was rebuked. Consider the scenario carefully. This was a Muslim government in which a Jew expressed superiority of Moses alayhi salam. Worse, he spoke in a tone provocative enough to infuriate a tender-hearted person as Abu Bakr into slapping the Jew. But even so, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam scolded Abu Bakr r.a., questioned his action, and told him the Jew had a right to hold any belief he liked. The fourth example is an incident that occurred after the Battle of Khaybar. Footnote, Sahih Muslim, Kitabus Salam, Babus Sam, Hadith 2190b, English translation. End of footnote. A Jewish woman cooked a meal for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mixed poison in the meat. When the meal was presented, a companion named Bishr radiyallahu anhu took a bite, but the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately recognized the poisoned meat through divine revelation and did not eat it. The woman asked how he knew, and he pointed to a meat bone. She explained that she had merely wanted to test the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he discovered the truth, it would mean he was a true prophet of God. And if he died, it would prove he is an impostor and the world would be rid of him. Hearing this explanation, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to spare her. Even though Bishr radiyallahu anhu, a companion ready to sacrifice himself for his master, died. Despite her intention of harming him and his companions to root out Islam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed her mercy. This was a remarkable example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's magnanimity. The fifth example is that whenever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to war, he directed his army to neither desecrate the places of worship nor harm their religious leaders, women, elders, or children. Before the advent of Islam, it was a custom to kill priests and monks, but the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam abolished this custom. If he were hostile to other religions, as painted by the opponents today, would he have instructed that leaders of these religions be spared? He would have said, kill them first. Instead, he instructed only to fight those who take up arms against you, and to leave those who are engaged in the service of religion. The sixth example highlights the disregard for the feelings of the opposing party in worldly conflicts. The defeated party is oppressed, and their emotions are suppressed. The British government is considered civilized, yet there is a statue in Lahore of Lawrence. Footnote: John Laird Mayor Lawrence, 1st Baron Lawrence, born March 4, 1811, Richmond, Yorkshire, England, died June 27, 1879, London, British Viceroy and Governor General of India, 1864 to 1869, end of footnote. Holding a sword that bears an inscription directing a question to the Indians: will you be governed by the pen or the sword? This statue and inscription are seen as insulting by the people of India because it implies that force will be used to rule over them if they reject the government. Despite repeated efforts to have the statue removed, the government has refused to do so. On the other hand, let's consider the greatness of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was subjected to countless forms of abuse by the Meccans. For 13 years, he and his companions endured torture at their hands. Women were murdered with javelins thrust into their bodies brutally, and men were tied up with ropes and dragged across scorching sands, made to lie on burning coals, hauled over rough terrain, and had their eyes gouged out. The persecution became so intense that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ultimately fled his hometown. Yet the Meccans would not leave him in peace, even in his new city. They incited the locals against him and even tried to enlist the support of Caesar and Khusros. Footnote: imperial titles of Roman and Persian emperors. End of footnote. Against him. In the end, the tides turned, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led an army of 10,000 holy men into Mecca. At this moment, memories of all the acts of oppression and violence committed against them came flooding back, and their blood boiled with the desire for revenge. One of the regimental commanders said, "The Meccans will show no mercy. Today we will avenge the tortures." At this, Abu Sufyan approached the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained that the commander's comments had caused him distress. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for the commander and told him, "You are relieved of your duties because you have disregarded the feelings of the Meccan disbelievers." Remember, it was unclear how Meccans would react to the Muslim army, nor was the outcome of the march to Mecca certain. Still, upon the complaint of a Meccan chief that a Muslim officer has hurt his feelings, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relieved the person of his duties. Can such a noble example be shown in the entire history of wars? Not even a corporal or lance corporal, far less a commander, was ever disciplined for standing on a battlefield and making a war cry against the enemy.